Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast right here at Highland Park Baptist Church with Pastor Stephen Kyle. And man, how are you, dude? It's a good day, good Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great day, man. If I felt any better, I'd have to pay for a toothache.
You getting adjusted back to a normal time frame rather than the jet lag stuff?
Yeah, it's getting a little better every night, but the I woke up about 1:30 and thought, man, I know I can go back to sleep. It's just going to take me a little while, which I hate that because I'm not one of those that struggles with going to sleep. And so I went to our media room. I left the bedroom because I didn't want to wake Jennifer up. And I went in there and started watching on the SEC channel. It's called SEC Rewind. It's when Tennessee beat Florida in the 1998 national championship year. Went into overtime and they missed a field goal. We won. So once I got into that, I'm like, oh man, whew, that was exciting. I was a little concerned on how it would turn out, even though I thought I remembered we won.
I mean, there's a few movies that I can rewatch, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I could rewatch a sporting event.
Well, you know, when your team stinks, you kind of go back for some good things. So I recorded it so I can show my son. He asks all the time if Tennessee's ever been good, and I'm like, buddy, the 90s, man. And in my mind, the 90s, that's not that long ago.
No.
Yeah, but then when you start putting the numbers to it, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Is that when Peyton Manning played?
That'd be the year after Peyton. We had to get Peyton out of college so we could win the national championship.
Ah.
Yeah. So, and then I dozed back for a little bit, and so I'm just ready to get my six to seven hours a night and call it in.
Yeah, because, I mean, what we recorded last time on a Thursday,
right after you got back. No, I was a walking zombie. Yeah,
and then so, and even yesterday afternoon, Sunday, you were feeling the jet lag still. So,
well, and it was a double whammy yesterday because Saturday nights I never sleep.
Okay.
Well, and just because of the excitement of the day coming and the really the weight of mm-hmm. the just being able to preach and speak on God's word. So you couple that with the other, then I'm still taking malaria medicine. You have to take that for 4 total weeks, and so I'm still got a couple of weeks left. And the malaria medicine it doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah,
just kind of a bleh. And really, I could go all day without eating, taking it. You need to take some food. If you don't, when you take the medicine, you'll get nauseated.
So,
I'm not hungry today. What have I had today? Today I had some peanuts and a Diet Coke.
Did you put it on Twitter?
I didn't. I should have. Yeah. But you mean X?
Yeah. So that's it. X. Sorry.
X, yeah. I don't post anything on X.
I spoke incorrectly.
I really don't post anything on anything.
Did you put the peanuts in the Pepsi?
Well, in the Diet Coke.
Sorry.
Yes. Why would I not? It makes no sense to me. I just wish I had a glass bottle to do it with. But yeah, if you've not tried that, it's awesome. It's a drink. It's a meal all in one.
I've only seen one other person do that, and it's my dad. I've seen my dad do that, and I think, and I've never seen anybody else do it. And then one day I walked in your office and you had peanuts floating in top of your soda. I'm like, man, that's not just a dad thing. I guess that's a dad.
So.
Well, I mean, but like, you know, I thought maybe it was something my dad concocted.
Man, I don't know. I guess I saw somebody doing it as a kid. I don't remember, but man, I do it all the time now, still to this day. So that's what I've had to eat today, and I'm not even hungry.
Feeling good, huh? Feeling energized.
I guess so, energized. But it was a good energizing day yesterday here at our worship.
It was
worship services.
Yeah, you
know, and, going public with your faith.
Why didn't you title it that though?
The sermon.
Yeah.
I like the I Have Decided.
Okay.
Because I was talking about what does it mean? What does it mean to follow? Yeah. Follow Jesus. Well, I've decided I'm going to follow him. And I could have, technically, when I first started, the whole thing was, I have decided to follow Jesus in baptism.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's just too long. That's like, you know, if you played softball for New Smyrna Beach Reformed Presbyterian Fellowship of Believers Church. Could you imagine that on a softball jersey? No, you'd shorten that thing down. So I'm like, I need to shorten this title of sermon now.
Yeah.
I have decided. Boom.
So, yeah, and so, we talked about yesterday's, you know, services several times, you know, last night and even today. And, you know, if you're watching or listening and don't know what happened, we had a making your faith public day where, you know, Pastor Stephen invited people to be baptized. And it was more than just a, hey, if you want to get baptized, come get baptized. Like, it was more than that. Like, you were able to walk through scripturally what baptism looks like, what it means, the fact that it's not salvation. But you were able to walk through that, and, you know, so I think overall it was a really great, relevant sermon for people that needed to understand.
Sure.
And, I mean, and we saw the fruit of that, right? Like we did, you know, we saw many people come forward and...
Well, some people call what we did spontaneous baptism.
Yeah.
I don't like that word, spontaneous, because when I think of spontaneous, and I'm sure we could look it up in the dictionary, it wouldn't say this, but when I think of spontaneous, I think of doing something without even giving thought to it.
Yeah.
And I don't want folks to not give thought to anything.
Yeah.
That they do for the Lord, and we know that baptism is that first act of obedience. So, I really want you to give a lot of thought. Now, you really shouldn't have to, you know, like linger.
Yeah.
It ought to be, okay, he wants me to do this,
yeah,
and here's why he wants me to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Really, hey, let's talk about the biblical mandate there. Mm-hmm. It's a command, you know, and now let's strip away all the excuses we make why we don't do it, and you got to make a decision. Either I'm going to be obedient or I'm going to be disobedient. And if you're disobedient, then, I mean, quit calling yourself a follower.
Well, and, like, even on the administrative side of it, you know, because part of what I do is, like, looking at guests that come through our church, looking at members that come through our church, looking at, you know, people that have made some sort of spiritual decision, and, you know, we could pull a list of people that have over the past indicated that they were interested in baptism. We could even pull a list on the people that we've tried to reach out to saying, hey, we understand you've indicated that you're interested in baptism. Please come talk with us. We'd love to schedule some time to work through that. Several of those people that we have had communication with over months, you know, because of the way the message went and because of, you know, how you talk through this in a biblical way, really, you know, there was a moment where the Holy Spirit worked, and they did. They stopped making excuses and came down. So we can track people that have been. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't necessarily like that spontaneous word, but man, in the moment, just calling you called people to follow Jesus, and
well, and we promoted it for
we did
for a few weeks,
we did,
and put it on social media and everything in the world,
right.
And even when people came in, made it very clear, hey, listen, here's where we're heading, for those that had already followed through in believer's baptism, you know, we said, hey, listen, how's this going to be applicable to you? I mean, that believer's baptism is step number one of obedience,
yeah.
So today, it could manifest itself in a lot of different ways in your life. The question is the same.
Yeah.
Are you going to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Are you going to follow Jesus? You know, I go back to kind of what we talked a little bit about last week on the podcast. I don't know when it became a bad thing to call people to respond to what God's Word says.
Yeah.
I even made the statement yesterday, I can't apologize for calling you to do something that Jesus commanded
you
to do.
Well, I think you even said it, you know, you're like, hey, you, there's some young preacher boys in the service. Like, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to, don't, I think you said, quit apologizing for preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And, yeah. you know, and that statement alone kind of gets me worried about the culture of the church. Like, why are we having to say those things?
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I think we've both been in services before, and I'm not even thinking about any particular service, but we've been at places before to where it was a, we would say, man, very prepared, great talk. And you're kind of, you come to the end and you're like, okay, now what are they calling me to? What is this? I mean, what's happening here? You know, I tease all the time, and, you know, I tell our guys who do our worship and stuff, hey man, when we're singing the song, I don't want the people sitting there saying, okay, is he singing about Jesus or yeah. is he singing about his girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want it to be very clear. And so same thing. Hey, okay, he's giving a great talk and but who's that centered around?
Yeah.
And again, to come to, I mean, oh, I've never heard anybody say this, but I have felt like I've been in some services before where I almost felt like the guy was about to say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to tell you about this gospel thing
yeah.
before you leave here.
Yeah.
Now, I was sitting in a service one time where a guy gives a talk for about 25 minutes, and then before he gets ready to finish, he's like, oh, by the way, I guess I should read some scripture.
Mm.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Strip him of his ordination certificate, yeah, right?
Right.
But, yeah, man, it should never get old.
Yeah.
It should never get old. It is the greatest thing that we can give to anyone is the good news of Jesus Christ. And I made the statement, some may disagree with me, and but I made the statement, man, when, you know, that peace, that abundant life, that you know, the assurance of salvation,
yeah.
man, I think that's attached to baptism. I don't think it's necessary for salvation, but it becomes a real life moment.
Yeah.
Man, I'm humbling myself.
Yeah.
I am publicly declaring who is my Lord, and to me, that's when it really takes on a lot of merit in our own lives.
Yeah.
That's not the moment of salvation. The moment of salvation is when you confess Jesus, right? And you, your faith and trust rest in him, but it becomes public.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like folks on social media, you'll sit there and they're like, you're like, I think Tom's dating Tina. Well, I don't really know if Tom's dating Tina. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh golly, they've just gone public, you yeah. know, in a relationship, Tom yeah, yeah. with Tina.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there they go.
Yeah.
They've posted it online. So,
yeah.
Well, the culture we live in.
I mean, taking the end of the service yesterday when those baptisms were happening, like just, you know, the few times I was able to step out and just kind of watch, just seeing the fact that the people that were involved, you know, the people watching, the people being a part of the service, like there was this genuine excitement on the fact that, you know, things were happening in people's lives. Like it wasn't just you or the people on stage that were going, hey, look, you know, look how we've done a good job today. Like it was looking out, there were family members that were in tears. There were family members that were excited, like people in the walking through the, you know, the process that we had in the back. There were family members and children watching mom and dad get back. And it was just it was a really cool moment all the way around,
yeah.
just to see God move and work in that. And
well, and I tried to present it as,
yeah,
hey, listen.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, hey, if you've never done this thing, come do this thing.
Right.
And I think I kind of got a little, I don't want to say a little bold, you know, I don't know.
I think
know.
You said, how dare you?
Yeah, well, I did. I said, yeah. how dare you come up here and yeah. make a mockery
yeah.
of this sacred thing, you know, that in essence, man, the symbolism here in baptism, that's what Jesus died for, the symbolism, the washing of sins, the cleansing. And man, don't come up here if you think it's a cool thing to do, or man, no, this is indication of I'm following him.
Yeah,
I'm laying down my cross, or excuse me, I'm laying down my life. I'm picking up my cross and I'm following Jesus Christ. So did the best to make sure that was the case.
And then, you know, one other thing, and then we'll try to get through your seven statements, but you know, one of the things that you and I both talked about was, you know, we had to maybe apologize for our lack of faith in the day. Well, because, you know, here I am, you know, thinking that, maybe not that many people are going to come. And we thought we overprepared as far as clothes and towels and stuff like that. But, man, did God show up way more than we could ever think or ask in that moment.
Yeah. And I would say, let the record show, I had nothing to do with how many shorts and towels and stuff were bought.
I know.
But yeah, anytime you go into that, you go into, well, let's just... Every time you gather, there should be a call to how do you respond? How do you respond? And there are, I mean, I'll say it this way, and I'll just act like I'm preaching to young or talking to young preacher boys again. And we do, and we have a lot of them here in our church that, you know, man, God's called to ministry and they're young and they're working through all this and we're kind of helping them and training them. And then we have some that just come to church here. And, but anyway, every time you give a gospel invitation, you are not going to see tangible fruit. You are not going to see people respond every time you give a gospel invitation. But you ought to expect to see people respond every time you give a gospel invitation. The expectancy there. And it doesn't mean you failed if you don't. Again, Jesus is the one that saves. I make this statement all the time. I think he even made it yesterday. Hey, look, man, I'm not the one that writes the newspaper. I'm just the newspaper delivery boy. What's my job? Hey, get that paper as close as you can to the door, man. Ultimately, the individual has to decide, am I going to open it up? And so... but days like yesterday, man, when you can see the tangible stuff, that's just good. That's good for your church. That's good for, I mean, that's good for everybody, and especially those who I mean, we had folks genuinely saved yesterday. There were folks that had been putting off that act of obedience, but then there were folks who genuinely yesterday was their day of salvation. And so I just think it was a good day all around, and, you know, God forgive us for not for not having the faith that that we should have. But, I mean, you know, isn't that how God does it? God didn't want to do anything to where we could sit here today and explain how it happened.
That's a good point.
And you're right. I mean, it was I would say this, and I know Journey was, he was, I was giving people to Journey and he was taking them to the back, but then there was a lot of times Journey was out there too. But how in the world could somebody be a follower of Christ and be in that service and be witnessing that? I mean, the very fact that when you ask, hey, who is the Lord of your life? And when they say Jesus, man, how could that not move your heart?
Absolutely.
How could that not stir you?
I was getting excited today watching it. Like, you know,
I thought Journey was going to take off running a few times. Journey, you don't even have your mic on, man. I think
he tried to say something super relevant and he missed it.
I think Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne turned your mic off last week.
Moment's gone.
Yep.
Test.
There you go. I can hear you now.
I said, I looked at the video, and I think it was an hour and 45 minutes.
And of baptisms?
The service.
Oh.
it felt like an hour and 45 minutes of baptism.
I think the whole service from beginning to end was an hour and 45 minutes, and I mean, I don't think anybody was ready to leave.
No. I'd say I guarantee you about 45 minutes was baptisms.
It was a lot.
May have been longer than that.
We were hustling.
Well, in that second service, we got into her late because the first service— As a matter of fact, we even had to start with three ready for baptism that first service. And so, we cut everything short and did everything good. I mean, you just got folks coming and they got to get changed. They got to get counseled. And we did. Everybody that went up there, they got talked with.
They did.
And counseled. And, you know, again, we take them at their word.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anybody that was like, hey, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to follow through in believer's baptism. And one of our counselors said, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness, who are we to make that call?
Yeah.
So maybe this will be a catalyst in people's lives and catalyst in our church and community and everything. And so we you know, here's what I said this morning in my prayer time. Do it again, Lord.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Mm.
I mean— That never gets tired. Lord, I want to see you do something like that again.
Yeah.
Before I die, right? Do it again. Journey is an old man, Lord. Do it for him. But stop and think about this, guys. And I know we're eating up all of our time.
That's okay. Good conversation.
You know, kids, but I think a journey with grandkids and stuff, I mean, they'll never forget that.
Yeah.
They'll never, yeah, you remember that time, man, they were 82?
Yeah.
And my prayer is that our kids would come along and say, man, you remember when our parents were so excited when only 82 got baptized?
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. How powerful. And last night I had deacons meeting. I told our deacons, I said, listen, go home with your kids and your grandkids. And I said, I really talk to them about, hey, guys, you understand how special what we saw today is?
Yeah.
Just the, you know, the prayer needs to be, oh, God. It doesn't need to just be, oh, God, leave those folks in awe.
Yeah.
The prayer should be, hey, God, I want to be in awe, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was super humbled, like, because as we were preparing for just the day, you know, we counted like 52 towels on Thursday.
I'm like, oh, a lot more than 52
we got
towels.
Enough. Like, we got enough. 52 towels, it'll be fine.
And, how many towels were getting thrown in the dryer and being?
We ended up. We purchased more in between services, and we found some stashed away. So we had plenty of towels, so we didn't have to reuse.
I'm going to say this though: I've got towels. I've got a shower in my office, and I have a bunch of towels underneath my cabinet. They ain't got a single towel there today.
Well, I didn't do that.
Somebody did.
I did not take towels.
I had like a hand towel.
I didn't. Yeah. No, but like again, like it just it goes to show, like you know, how many times do we doubt that God can come through in moments that we ask him to come through for.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know. I was super humbled.
And if you want to see the power of God fall down, dare to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Dare to, you don't have to wait to bring them to a church service.
Right.
I mean, dare to share the gospel. Well, what if they say no? Hey, again, it's not, that's not your calling. Your calling is share the good news. I can promise you this. There's a stronger chance they'll say yes if you share the good news than if you don't share the good news.
Well, and, you know, speaking of that and on sharing the good news, one of your statements, and it was your last statement, but it's like the right time to do the right thing is right now.
And it, so it is. And, yeah. And when I wrote that, I'm like, number one, that is too good to come from me. I know I've read that somewhere. I've probably heard a preacher say that. I don't have an original thought at all. But even me, when I was like, oh, that's good.
That's good.
That's a good one right there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Because we even had, there were some folks that you know, made those decisions. And I had some people tell me that one or two of them even said, hey, you know, I was, no. And you know, when it was like, now, the right time to do the right thing is always right now.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, boy, that resonated. And, man, that's a good saying. And I'm sure we could Google it and find out who actually had the original one. And I would give them credit if I could remember. That's too good to come from me. I probably heard Jay Hunt say it or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of your, and we're going to do your statements out of order, but, you know, one of your other statements was, what's important to God must be important to me. And again, just getting people to understand the power of Scripture, understand the importance of following what Jesus says.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. No, I mean, you're right. Like, what's important to God should be important to us.
Well, and we get so exhausted on things of importance in this world.
In this world. Yeah.
10,000 years from now,
yeah.
Is it going to matter if the waitress messed up your order?
Yeah.
And there are people that will make fools of themselves
because
the waitress messed up their order.
Yeah.
You know, 10,000 years from now, is it going to matter if the neighbor cut down a limb on your tree? I promise you this, 10,000 years from now, it's going to matter whether that neighbor or that waitress give their life to Christ. That's the most important thing to the Lord, man, is being in a relationship with him and for all eternity. I say that's why we've been created, to be in a relationship with him for all eternity. And, God, may that be the most important thing to me when it's all said and done.
Well, and you know, I was talking to one of my son's friends today, and, you know, they were out last night. They were actually at the marina looking at the water. It was weird. But, you know, they were saying that some guy just came up to him and started talking to him and stayed there for like an hour just trying to talk to him. And they were telling me that my son was in the process, like, was starting to share Jesus with this guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to give this gospel conversation. The guy was like, oh, I know all this stuff. And you know, it invited him to church. But, you know, I'm sitting back thinking about that over, you know, the past few hours since I heard that. And looking at what we talked about yesterday, that, you know, the important thing, now's the time, right, to make that right decision. There is this command to follow Jesus. And, yeah, you're right. It's more about the people getting, more than just the people that got baptized. Like, the message to follow Jesus is a worldwide, every moment thing. And I think, yeah, our prayer is that, you know, something happened, and something will continue to happen through this. And, man, it's just, I don't know, it was a good day. Super humbled, but, man, just a good day of seeing people be obedient to the call of the Lord in their life.
Right. No, man. I would agree. I would agree.
Mm. Well, I'm going to close with your very first statement.
My very first one.
Yeah. Some of the greatest moments and experiences and seasons of your life will come when you least expect it, even through just a simple step of following Jesus.
I think that's about living every day on mission.
Yeah.
And realizing that God does use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, right? Which says to me that there is nothing in my life that God cannot use. And I just need to be faithful to what I know He's called me to do.
Yeah.
And as I go about every day, look for those opportunities, look for those divine appointments. And, I mean, you can sit there and say, oh, today's Monday. Nothing good happens on Monday. And I guess the argument can be made. So you're saying he's the God of Tuesday through Sunday, just not the God of Monday. Right. And I think it's all about perspective, and kind of like what you just said earlier about, you know, what's important to God ought to be important to us. And I know how my mind works, and I give attention to details, man. And, you know, if one little thing is out of place, it just drives me crazy. And I've fought that my entire life. And so sometimes I have to be kind of, you know, brought back into, you know, ultimately, is it going to matter if that chair's there versus there at the end of the day? And I'll even laugh and say, well, we're not going to see anybody saved. That chair's out of place.
Right.
But, you know, hey, Lord, man, ultimately, I don't want anything in this life to bother me more than somebody who I have influence with dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
That's what I want to burden me more than whether my team wins or, you know, whatever may happen. The sphere of influence, and we all have a sphere of influence, everyone listening to us, man, look around your world. There are people there in your life that God has allowed to be in your life so that you might be that mouthpiece. And outside of your own salvation, there's not a greater high in this world
than
bringing somebody else to Jesus.
That's right. Mm. Well, man, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus. Thank you for pointing us to the truth of Scripture. And, hey, keep listening. Thank you for watching right here on Unchangeable Truth Podcast. We'll see you next time.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.